some of the differences between the culture and motivation, a social psychologist had mentioned that the four dimensions of our culture is one of the important element which are on which the values could be analyzed upon. For example, his masculinity, his femininity, which is typically the female, the masculine side and the feminine side, these two dimensions of your personalities also talks a lot about your organizational culture and suggests what could be rewarding for different cultures. If a culture is masculine, people would prefer receiving money, titles, or any other materialistic status, whereas concepts like oriented from a reward recognition, or is on the feminine side, the meaning is more from rewards that are time of improved benefits or symbolic rewards. So from a masculine point of view and from a feminine point of view, we clearly differentiate between the personalities from a gender point of view, which is one of the important part of our culture. Hence, when we talk about the masculine side, people prefer to receive titles because they are highly influential by the title in which they are working upon. The money which is directly related to the kind of per capita income which they are referring to. At the same time, lot of materialistic rewards which are a part of your typical male dominant industry. Whereas on the feminine side, the feminine society, there are lot of meaningful rewards wherein they get a time off. They have a good employee life cycle purely from a life cycle, from the complete, you know, when we talk about the life cycle, I also want to focus on the way we are managing our work-life balance. Especially somebody who is on the feminine side would love to have a positive work-life balance, but somebody who's on the masculine side would love to take more tasks because they want to prove that, yes, I want more money. I am really fascinated by the title, which is more materialistic from an overall improvement and from an overall behavior point of view. And hence, such benefits as a part of our culture and motivation could be taken positively, could also be taken negatively, and it purely varies from a day-to-day culture which we are getting into our discussion. The difference between culture and motivation, typically here we discuss a different attributes of power. When I say power, low power, high power, somebody who is certain, uncertain. So this particular image which you see on my screen talks a lot about the culture and the difference between culture and the motivation. Somebody who is very high on culture by default will have a high motivation level. At the same time, somebody with a low motivation level will be definitely lacking a lot from a cultural differences. That's how this particular image which you see on my screen talks a lot about the different cultures and the different level of motivation which goes hand in hand. Now, let's understand with this image here, the focus is the culture differences and the culture related to motivation and culture whole as a subject. Here, when we talk about individualism and collectivism, here on the left hand side, culture is something which is being defined as where people define themselves as individual and they form a looser tie compared to the entire group. Few of the examples are countries like USA, Australia, UK, Canada, Hungary, where these are places where people are highly influenced by the culture and the level of motivation from an individual point of view. Whereas collective as a group, we have examples of India, Pakistan, China, and others as a part of our example, where culture is something where people have a stronger bond for them as a part of our group, And the group membership also forms as individual identity as a part of their learning. And hence, both these cultures are highly influenced by the positive part and the negative part, particularly keeping culture and motivation from a lens point of view. If I talk about the low power of distance and on the high power distance, from a low power distance point of view, these are places like Australia, Denmark, Israel, Ireland, New Zealand, where a society that views an unequal distribution of power and relatively unacceptable. Whereas countries like Malaysia, Slovakia, Philippines, Russia, Mexico, here the level of power and distance is very, very high, because this is typically a society which that the views are equally distributed basis on the power and the relatively acceptance as a part of our learning. Hence, from a low certainty to high uncertainty, from a masculinity to a feminism, from a feminality, all these things are one of the important parameters wherein the differences in culture from a motivation level is clearly defined by these four important parameters of individualism, low distance point of view, from a low uncertainty point of view, and definitely the feminine and the masculine side of individual, because from a masculine individuality point of view, here we focus on countries like Slovakia, Japan, Hungary, Austria, Venezuela, where the culture in which the people value their achievements and competitiveness as a whole, as well as the acquisition from a money and from a materialistic individual objective point of view, whereas from a feminism point of view, cultures in which people value maintaining a good relationship, the caring nature of our employees, of our team members, and definitely caring for the weaker segment, because here the focus is more on equality of life and ensuring a positive work-life balance. That's how nothing right or wrong, basis on your culture, basis on your province, basis on your state, basis on your geographies. This is how, these are the important parameters which clearly a difference is visible from a culture and from a motivation point of view. Now that we're talking about culture and motivation, let's understand the effect of culture on communication. The major difference is how people from different cultures communicate with each other on the basis of language, signs, usage, verbal style, non-verbal style as a part of their non-verbal and verbal communication. Communication is one of the very important elements where two individuals, irrespective where they come from, there is a common bond between both of them wherein they are communicating with each other with an objective. And here the objective is, how can I deliver a better communication as a part of my learning journey? That's the reason different styles, different attributes from a verbal and non-verbal communication point of view is one of the very important elements of culture as a part of communication. Two people may speak the same language, but they speak it in a little different way. For example, the pronunciation, the language, the way we use our tenses, our grammar has a lot of influence from English as a language. When I say English as a language, there are two types of English I am referring to. One is the language which is coming from United Kingdom, England, and one is the language which is coming from United States. Hence, both of them speak English as a language, but the way in which they are pronouncing a one particular word varies from individual to individual. Hence, there are many elements of your communication which people from United Kingdom and people from England and people from United States may have a different meaning of the same word, or the same word which has a different meaning. And that's the reason many a times meaning of certain words is quite different from country to country, even opposite in some cases. For example, we say, let's sign a check. So a check may be referred as two different parameters or two different individuals, because here somebody may be referring to check as signing a check as a part of my financials. At the same time, when you are giving an order and after you complete your meal, we are signing off and we are signing a check. Here I'm referring to how do I pay my bill. So while check as one particular word is being used into two different elements as a part of my culture, as a part of my communication, which is the important part of my culture. Hence, an individual, hence an employee in a multicultural organization need to be oriented from a cross-cultural point of view, because in order to be able to understand the correct way of the understanding and interpret from an organizational behavior and your colleagues is an important element. For example, I belong to one particular country and somebody else belongs to one other country, wherein we both together may not come to a common conclusion, whereas I may refer to something else and the person may perceive me in a wrong sense, and that's how chances of wrong communication from a culture point of view is one of the ill effects of communication in a part of my cultural behavior. Now, different effects of individual from a culture on a communication point of view. For example, verbal communication styles also varies from different culture. When I say on the left hand side, it is low on context. On my right hand side, high on context. These are the certain examples where from the extreme left, we have countries like Germany, Swiss, Scandinavian countries, whereas on the extreme right, we have Japanese and Chinese and few of the Asian countries, which focuses more on the higher context, whereas on the left-hand side, we have countries like German and Scandinavian countries. In between, we have all these countries you can see on my screen. Now, when I understand the low context and the higher context, on low context, what we are referring to is communication which is very specific, detailed, precise. At the same time, it is definitely poorer when it comes to encoding unspoken messages and body languages. On the right-hand side, when I talk about communication, this is less direct. It emphasizes more on human relationships. At the same time, it is more sensitive to certain elements like non-verbal feelings and other. Whereas on the left-hand side, it is low context because here they are focusing to body language as a part of my culture. Whereas on the right-hand side, from a feeling point of view, we are highly, highly influenced by a high context matter because here we are giving priority to the feelings of these individuals. And that's the reason if you see the extreme left and the extreme right, you can clearly define the five levels, which you can see from the German, Scandinavian, American, English, Canadian, French, Spanish, Italian, Mexican, Greek, Arab, English, Japanese, and Chinese. And that's how all these different type of communication helps you to understand the overall individual and the overall cultural communication cycle from your complete employee life cycle point of view. These are the cultures. There are cultures in which who used to be direct style and convey their feelings and thoughts by using the exact words, whereas in the indirect style, here speaker hides the true feelings to the selection of word. So here on the left-hand side, this is too direct. On the right-hand side, this is not direct, wherein they may hide the real message, the real feeling, and then play around. At the same time, the direct style is more common into individualistic cultures, whereas in the indirect style is more into a common collective behavior. For example, if I talk about the Japanese culture, Chinese culture, it is very high on context. Whereas from a German communication style point of view, it is lower on the context in which we are discussing. Now, the direct style allows the individual to express his own, his or her own clear ideas very clearly, whereas the collective approach, purely from an orientation point of view, is how to maintain the group harmony and the concern for others from a feeling point of view. Hence, if you see, your communication style has a lot to do from your feelings point of view, because at the end, international HRM subject focuses more on the feeling element of our resources, of our people. And hence, the moment I say people, your communication style, your culture is highly influenced by the communication style, which is purely defined from the individual feelings and the harmony point of view. Effect of culture on communication. Culture also has a strong impact on non-verbal communication, like the facial expressions, eye contact, the posture, etc. So the way I stand, the way I walk, the way I talk, talks about a lot about me as an individual from a communication style point of view. If I am somebody who's always standing straight and talking to you straight on your face, talks a lot that I am somebody who is demanding power, who's somebody who's a person of authoritative. That's how I am demanding your attention. At the same time, a loose body structure or a not a very strong posture, like somebody who's leaning down or leaning back, is something which is gonna have an impact. Not having a strong eye contact may also talk a lot negative about you as an individual. Hence, a right posture with the right proper way of non-communication verbal, non-verbal style is gonna talk a lot about you as an individual from an impact of effect of culture on communication. Let me take one example from your screen. For example, the non-verbal communication for saying yes in Western countries is nodding the head and down. Like, for example, yes, this is how I am trying to communicate you, to give a image or a impression about that. Yes, I have understood, and that's why I'm saying yes. Whereas nodding head continuously in countries like India or doing side by side may not be accepted from a learning point of view. Hence, this particular example of saying yes and no particularly has a mixed feeling from a communication cycle point of view. Hence, we should be very clear about the culture in which we are communicating. For example, in Japan, bending down frequently, at least 2 to 3 times, is accepted from a body language, from a cultural point of view. Whereas in country like India, in country like, you know, USA, UK, it may have different meanings from the body language point of view. Hence, basis of your body language, it talks a lot about the way we nod our head, the way we express our feelings in a public platform, and the way we show our expressions also talks a lot from a posture, gesture point of view. The gesture of greeting also differs between individuals based on their culture, values, systems. Typically, with Western culture, handshake, in Japanese, bowing down, in Middle Eastern, the same gender kiss, and, you know, kissing on the cheek, and in Eskimos, rubbing their nose. These are few of the highly influenced positive culture dimension which we need to understand, that where exactly we are coming from. A firm handshake between two individuals is considered to be one of the positive signs from a Western culture point of view. From a Japanese culture point of view, again, a strong handshake with bowing down is also considered to be one of the positive elements of a culture. In Middle Eastern, same gender kisses on cheek is accepted. Whereas in case of Eskimos, rubbing their nose to each other could be considered to be one of the elements of the cultural association, which highly influences by the culture on communication. Impact of culture on conflict resolution. The moment I say conflict, this is definitely one of the important elements where we are not coming to a common conclusion. When we are not coming to a common conclusion, definitely there is a need or there is a rise in a conflict, and how we can have the impact of conflict on conflict resolution. And that's the reason the impact of culture on conflict resolution is one of the important elements which was talked about the experts in his theory in 1976 in a book Beyond Culture, where it refers to culture to a culture's tendency to use high context messages over low context messages in a routine communication. This was being mentioned by Edward T. Hall in his write-up, which he mentioned in the year 1976. In the higher context culture, many things are left unsaid for you to explain it better and letting the culture explain it by themselves. Hence, if there is a conflict and you need to come to a common conclusion as a part of your conflict resolution, please try to understand the culture beyond your culture so that you will be able to set the context, whether it's a low context or it's a high context, basis on the geographies which we discussed a while ago, because basis on the context, basis on the culture, many things will be clearly communicated and many things will be left unsaid to you for you to perceive whether I have did a good job or I need to still improve upon my level of communication. In a low context culture, the communicator needs to be more explicitly explained on the value of one single word, or something which is a single word is less important. Understanding cross-cultural approaches to conflict will be enabling our employees to work towards an effective resolution would be one of the key elements which we need to focus upon. So here we are focusing on the impact of culture on conflict resolution. On the screen on the left hand side, we are focusing on the conflict characteristics, which is of low and high context culture. On the left hand side, when you see the blue color box, it focuses more on the key questions. Here typical questions are what and how. When I say what I'm referring to is what to say and what not to say. From a context point of view, if it's a low context conflict, it focuses more on the revealment, which is a direct confrontive attitude, talks more about the action and the solution oriented approach. Whereas if you see from a more high context conflict point of view, it talks a lot about the concealment, the indirect part, the non-confrontable attitude, at the same time, the face and the relationship-oriented long-term association. Hence, both low context and high context from a conflict point of view are two extreme examples, two extreme personalities, which focuses more on the what element. If I focus on the how element here, it focuses on how to express, how to be a more approach from a proposal point of view. Whereas if I talk from a low context conflict point of view, here it explicitly talks about the communication codes, which is the line of logic, the styles, the rational part, the fractional part, about the factual representation, the theories on which we are focusing upon. At the same time, it talks a lot about people, open culture, and direct strategies more from a low context point of view. On the high context point of view, it is an implicit communication which focuses more on codes. At the same time, focuses a lot on the logic point, it talks about the style, it talks about the effectiveness of that particular approach. At the same time, it is ambiguous, indirect strategies could also be one of the elements which we need to focus from a high context point of view. On the right hand side, people with low context culture see conflict as instrumentally oriented. These culture view The word is analytic, linear logic term, and separate issues from a people point of view. Whereas from a high context point of view, here high context culture, typically a conflict is expressive oriented. At the same time, it also focuses on people in these culture do not separate from person. At the same time, it also focuses on the personal issues in which the individual is not separate person from the issue. It's considered to be one of the important intact element of the entire conversation from a high context culture point of view. From a low context culture point of view, here the conflict could be instrumental from an orientation point of view. At the same time, the analogy in which we are discussing from a linear logic term and separate people are a part of my high context conflict resolution, and on the left hand side we focus on the low context conflict resolution point of view. Now that we have seen the impact of culture on conflict resolution, let's continue with the same discussion, which is the impact of cultural conflict resolution. In both these styles, culture conflicts develop due to personal reasons, because as I said, we all are human beings. We have our own cultural positives, negatives. We all have our own reasons for acceptance and non-acceptance, and hence we all are highly influenced, which develops a lot of conflict between two individuals and two groups. In low context culture, there is less emphasis on how one should behave. Hence, conflict develops more from people not meeting each other's expectations. In high context culture, people have conflicts usually over when people violate cultural expectations. Hence, your cultural expectations are one of the important aspects of your conflict resolution. If you are somebody who is very positive, highly oriented by your cultural expectations, by default, you will be able to express yourself with full confidence. But from a lower expectation cultural point of view, if you are violating your own expectation, wherein if you are not meeting up to the expectations, definitely it will give birth to a conflict and you will have to adopt a conflict resolution method. The impact of culture on conflict resolution is the third aspect of conflict, which typically refers to a situation which is referring to the individual behavior of people involved in the conflict. Low context culture are more from an action point of view, more action oriented, and will therefore look to confronting and resolving the issues quickly, because here the context is low. Hence, they would love to get it closed and move on to the next set of problems. Whereas on the contrary, when a high context culture we are referring to, we have to be an evasive attitude towards conflict and will try to ignore and avoid conflict. And hence, from a high context and a low context point of view, you need to understand the cultural aspects of your conflict resolution process. From a culture and organizational change, culture, typically different cultures have different approaches, which is the approaches to change. Some resist, some embrace, whereas some other simultaneously embrace, resist, and fear that yes, I will not be able to adapt to the culture and the organizational cultural changes. One way to understand the relationship between culture and organizational change is its orientation towards time. How long will this take from an entire cycle completion point of view is one of the important element of culture and organizational change. If this is very time consuming, friends, trust me, it will not be a fruitful activity, because the change is something which is gonna be happening all around at continuous level. Hence, you should be able to know where to draw that line and ensure that from an orientation point of view, you have taken all these points into consideration, into well advance, so that you are able to ensure that these things are taken care well in advance. There are cultures that are oriented from your past. They are highly influenced by the tradition and the values which has happened in past basis on the history. That's why from a culture and from an organizational point of view, please understand the human patterns in which these decisions were being taken care. These decisions we have been taken in past, in history, talks about a lot about your orientation, your past behavior, your value system, and definitely the traditionality of these concepts, which is gonna be highly influenced from a culture and from an organizational change point of view. Now that we are focusing on culture and organizational change, there are other cultures who are presently oriented and focus on the moment. What is currently happening live at the moment is one of the important aspects we need to understand. They are neither view as they neither view the history as an important nor are concerned about the future. Hence, here the focus is purely on what is happening at the moment, because here they are not very much interested on what happened in the past as a history, and at the same time they're also not very much bothered about what is going to happen in the future. Hence, here the focus is on the current related issues and the focus is at the moment. Whereas a third set of culture is also focusing on the future related orientation, and that's the reason here the emphasis is more on future planning and are concerned about what the future generation is going to look on for. In this context, the past oriented culture resists change. Present oriented shows reluctance to acceptance, change, and the future oriented culture embrace the change and see what is as an inevitable sustenances of the entire discussion. Hence, from a culture and the organization change point of view, it's very important for each one of us to be there, to live at the moment, learn from your past and learn from your mistakes, so that you are able to influence your current value system, your current change management process, and at the same time, from a future expectation point of view, we are also sensitive when it comes to culture and organization change. Culture and organization change in this small diagram which you see on your screen is highly focused on the importance for managers to understand the source of resistance to change, so that they can anticipate and reduce the entire stress from a culture and organizational change point of view. The key difference between the short-term and the long-term orientation within the society is what is clearly visible between the left-hand side and the right-hand side of my screen. On the left-hand side, here the focus is more from a short-term orientation, and on the right-hand side, the focus is more from a long-term orientation. And that's the reason elements like effort should be reduced, the effort should be produced, which is giving a quick result. At the same time, on the right-hand side, from a long-term per se, here the focus is more from having a sustained efforts from having a slow result. These are the key elements we need to focus from a short-term and a long-term per se. From a short-term per se, the focus is more on the short-term orientation purely from the social presence towards the spending habits. On the right-hand side, It is the drift between the differences of being somebody who's gonna be sparing from a resources point of view. That's how the small element as a part of our discussion is gonna be the key changer from the culture and organization point of view, the changes which we need to derive upon. I'll request all of you to please go through this slide so that we are able to understand all these elements as a part of our step-by-step discussion and understand these concepts in a much better way. Traditional habits, you know, let's get back to our trends. Tradition, habit, resource, limitations, threats, power, influence, fear, knowledge about what is going to happen, known factors, unknown factors. These are some forms of resistance, and these resistance are the one which is one of the key elements where people resist to change, and these are important elements which are clearly visible as a part of our learning process all across the society. To be able to be an effective manager and to be an effective manager and employee driven in the organization, to be effective managers and employees in the organization with a multicultural values, it is essential that they are oriented in such a way that all these aspects of the culture and they have the impact in a personal organizational behavior. And that's the reason all these attributes of the iceberg, which we referred a while ago, is emphasizing on all these elements which are purely designing, influencing your tradition, your habit, your patterns, your limitations, and as a part of our threat, how we are getting influenced by the fear of change and the resistance to change. These are some of the key elements we need to attribute when we talk about culture and organization change.